I'm Patricia Pierce. Welcome to the Evolutionary Activist Podcast. We are living at an important moment in our history, a time that is calling us into a new way of being, a new consciousness from which a sustainable, just, and peaceful future can arise. In this podcast, we explore ways to help that future take hold within ourselves so that together we can help it come forth in our world. Today, I would like to continue our exploration into evolutionary ways of knowing. We've looked at wisdom and how wisdom is different from information. We've looked at intuition and how important intuition is for us right now at this particular juncture of our evolutionary development. And today I would like to explore something with you that has been very key in my own life journey, and that is dreams. I first became interested in dreams when I was in seminary, and I started having dreams that I knew I wanted to understand because I knew that they were important. And one dream that I had that was an extremely important dream for me was I tell dreams in the present tense typically just to help you enter into the narrative with me as though it's happening right now. In this dream, I am in the seminary library. And the seminary library is a garden level room, and it has windows up towards the top, up towards the ceiling. I'm there studying, and all of a sudden this tremendous earthquake hits, and the building begins to rock and begins to crumble, and there are vines that are planted outside of the windows, and they begin to grow at an explosive rate, and they shatter the windows, and they begin filling the space. And I know I have to get out of that room or I will die. And so I run up the stairs to get outside, and I get outside and I come out into a courtyard where everything is peaceful. It's a sunny day, and I'm walking around in this courtyard, and I come upon a baby who has in its mouth a living butterfly. Now, I knew that that dream was important, and it was foretelling, really, a pretty cataclysmic disruption in my belief system that was going to compel me to escape, to leave the library, the theological library. And as I worked with that symbol, of course, the theological library is the accumulated understanding of other people's experiences and other people's beliefs about God. And so this dream was showing me that that I was going to have to escape that library, or something in me would die. And the vines that shattered the windows began filling the space. They were showing me that there was some kind of a living presence behind this cataclysm that was forcing me out of this vicarious way of knowing and bringing me into a more direct experience of the divine that was not mediated by what other people had believed and what other people had said. But that on the other side of that, when I escaped, when I got out of that theological library, that I would be in the presence of and I would receive this new life and this transformation. Well, I knew that I really needed to be understanding these dreams because they were so significant and so powerful. And I was, I started, you know, looking into resources and reading on my own. And one of the great blessings of being at the particular seminary where I went, and again, if you listen to last week's episode, you'll know how my intuition led me to that particular school. And one of the great things about being there was it was a consortium of seminaries, and at one of the partner seminaries, there was a course on dream work that was taught by a very well-known dream expert. His name was Jeremy Taylor. Sadly, he passed away just a few months ago. But Jeremy was a pioneer in a lot of ways in working with dreams, and especially working with dreams in groups. And being able to study with him, and also the reading and study that I did in other courses and on my own. I took a course in depth psychology where we looked at the teachings and the scholarly work of Carl Jung, who, of course, was pivotal in our understanding of dreams. All of this helped open up for me this huge horizon and this tremendous resource of wisdom that is accessible to me all the time, every time I go to bed at night. I mean, we have dreams all the time. We don't always remember them, but we always have them. And those dreams are an abundant source of information and guidance and wisdom and reassurance if we pay attention to them and if we know how to work with them. Now, one of the very important things that Jeremy taught, and I really believe that he was right about this, is he said that all dreams come in the interest of our health and wholeness. Every single dream comes to you in the interest of your health and your wholeness. And you might ask, well, what about nightmares? Those certainly don't seem like dreams that have my well-being at heart. But in fact, nightmares are especially interested in our health and wholeness because they bring to us content that is so important for us to know and to integrate, that information comes in frightening ways so as to get our attention. Now, one of the important things about dreams, and there are many different kinds of dreams. There are dreams that are bringing to us content from our unconscious that is ready to be integrated, acknowledged, and integrated. There are occasionally dreams that come to us with information. They're called precognitive dreams. They come with information about something that is going to be happening in the future. Those are fairly rare, and I don't encourage people to go there first as their first understanding of a dream. And there are also archetypal dreams that have to do with not just our individual experience or our individual lives, but they have to do with ultimate reality, and they have to do with what Jung called our collective unconscious, the unconscious mind that we all share. And so that's why many times symbols come in dreams that we may not have a personal association with, but they are representing something that is universal to humankind. Now, one of the important things to know about dreams is that they use a different language than we are used to using. They use the language of symbols. Now, we are not often taught to think at the symbolic or metaphorical level. In fact, we are becoming more and more literal in our understanding of things, which is a problem for us. Because the spirit realm and dreams in particular often speak to us through symbol. And if we are unable to speak the language of symbol, we will miss the meaning entirely. And worse than that, we will make it out to be something that it isn't. This literalism that has become more and more a part of our everyday lives, we see it in our interaction, for example, with technology and the internet. If you, for instance, Google the word car or automobile, you will get all kinds of information about cars, about where you can buy cars, about how cars work, how they run, how you need to maintain cars, how much cars cost, reviews of, you know, this year's best cars. You can find all of that information about literal cars. But if you dream about a car, that car is not about a literal car. that is a symbol in your dream that is pointing to how you move in the world based on your own self-understanding, your own belief system, the unique qualities that make up who you are. That is the symbol of your car, is like the interface between you and the wider world and how it is that you are journeying through your life. So reclaiming the language of symbol is so important for us, because it is one of the ways that we access that greater wisdom that is beyond our individual knowing. Many of the symbols, if they're not archetypal symbols, for the most part, they are symbols that are drawing on our own personal experience, our own personal associations with something. If I have a dream of an apple, that might mean one thing to you, but to me, you know, maybe in my life experience, I grew up on an apple farm, and so it has all kinds of associations that are unique to me that are not shared by you. And that's one of the reasons that we can't just go off to a symbol dictionary or a dream dictionary to understand what our dreams mean, because they are always unique to our own experience. Those resources, those symbol dictionaries and dream dictionaries, can be useful at the archetypal level, but I just want you to be aware that your dreams will always have more nuanced and richer layers of meaning that you'll never find in a dream dictionary. And that's the other thing about symbols, is they can mean many, many different things. That's one of the attributes of a symbol. It cannot be pigeonholed into one particular meaning, which is why it is such a rich and potent language for us. If you think about the symbol of the flag, for instance, let's say the U.S. flag, it's a symbol that means all kinds of things to different people. For some people, it means the principles upon which this country was founded. For some people, it means the government. For some people, it means our particular way of governing. For some, it's really a patriotic symbol. It's sort of like an extension of their own identity into sort of like a tribal identity of belonging to this nation state. So it can mean a lot of different things to different people. Which is why, of course, these symbols can also become fraught with a lot of conflict, because they mean different things to different people. So we have dreams that come to us at night. We have that speak to us in the language of symbol. And then we have moments where Carl Jung coined this term. We experience synchronicities. And synchronicities are experiences where, and the word literally means things that happen at the same time, comes from the Greek, same time. So two things that are happening at the same time that don't seem to have any causal connection. And this was something that Carl Jung was extremely interested in. And it's something that I'm sure you have experienced, as have I. And in those moments when we experience a synchronicity, it is as though our lives have become a dream. And things that, you know how in dreams impossible things can happen, right? We can fly, we can levitate, we can do all kinds of things in dreams that are impossible in this so-called waking state. Well, sometimes we experience a synchronicity where it seems like, this is impossible. This can't be happening. And that's when some of our boundaries between our inner life and our outer life begin to break down, and we begin to see, oh, wow, I'm really not separate from this greater whole. And let me give you an example of a synchronicity. I've experienced so many synchronicities in my life, I wouldn't even know where to begin. But let me share this one with you because it's such a graphic example. And I told this story as part of the online course that I offer called Activating Transformation Through the Power of Blessing. So if you've taken that course, you've heard this story before, but it's such a great example that I'm going to share it here too. And this was back, let's see, I guess it would have been the year 2003. Yeah, 2003. I was planning to go to England to be part of a women's group that was going to visit some of the pre-Christian sacred sites in England. And I was feeling drawn, for a lot of reasons, some of them being synchronicities, I was feeling drawn to taking part in that trip. And so I decided that I would go. And then I also wondered whether I might also, while I was in, you know, the British Isles, whether I might also visit Iona. And Iona is an island off of the coast of Scotland, the western coast of Scotland, where there is an ecumenical community that celebrates and observes a very earth-centered form of Christianity. And I was at a point in my own journey where I was trying to hold together a couple of different, conflicting parts of my own belief system and my responsibilities in the church. And I thought, well, maybe if I go to Iona, I will find there a version of Christianity that really speaks to me, because I was struggling at that point pretty intensively with my relationship with traditional Christianity. And I thought, well, maybe if I go to Iona, I will find something there that will help me hold all of this together. And I wasn't sure, though, if I really should be spending the money, because it was, you know, you have to get to Edinburgh, and then you have to go all the way across Scotland, and you have to take all these buses and ferries, and it's kind of a big deal to get to Iona, and an additional expense, and so I just wasn't sure if I should do it. And the weeks went by, and I'm trying to decide whether I should go or not. And I'm getting to the deadline where I really have to buy my plane ticket, or the rates are going to go up. So I had to make a decision. And I left. I was working at the church, and I left one evening to go get some dinner before an evening meeting, holding this question: should I go to Scotland or shouldn't I? Should I go to Iona or shouldn't I? And as I was headed to get my dinner, I saw something that I had never seen on the streets of Philadelphia, and I have never seen since. And that is, just down the sidewalk from where I was headed, I kid you not, there was a man standing there in full Scottish regalia. He had the kilt, he had that, you know, that hat. he had all of it. The knee-high socks and the shoes and the whole thing. And he had bagpipes. And when he started to play the bagpipes, I just burst out laughing, and I thought, all right, I will go to Iona. Well, you know, sometimes I guess we have to be hit over the head. And that was one of those times when I had to be hit over the head. So we have these synchronicities where our lives suddenly feel like a dream. I mean, how can that be possible, that this guy shows up in Scottish dress playing the bagpipes at the very moment when I have to decide whether or not to go to Scotland? I mean, how does that happen? But these things do happen, don't they? And I bet you've had those kinds of experiences where this inexplicable coming together of things happens. And it's as though your own inner life is intricately connected with what is happening outside of you. And our illusion of separateness begins to get a little bit unstable. So I want to encourage you to pay attention to these things, to pay attention to your dreams, to seek out resources to work with them. And you can work with them on your own, and you can also work with them in groups. I do both, and both are very fruitful. If you're interested in this, there's a download available on the podcast page of this podcast on my website, patriciapierce.com. Look under podcasts under this episode. And there's a download there of tips and resources for working on dreams. And if you're interested in that, you can look for that download. So I just want to encourage you to pay attention to this amazing resource that is freely given to you every night when you go to sleep. And I encourage you to really begin to honor your dreams as that amazing resource that they are, because they are a portal between the world and the experience that we are aware of and this greater wisdom, this greater knowing that transcends everything that we know consciously. So I encourage you to really begin to tap into that as one of the very important evolutionary ways of knowing. And until next week, peace.